Welcome to the Catholic Sphere. Each week we have a different host and a different focus as we tackle topics important to Catholics around the globe. I'm your host this week, Father Joseph Mary. Today we'll be talking about bringing the gospel to the world, specifically what some of our EWTN employees throughout the world are doing with the help of God's grace to spread the gospel, and how the network is changing lives. Claudia Ramirez is the Director for Marketing for Latin America. Andreas Tonhauser is our Vatican Bureau, Rome Bureau Chief. And Paul Ness is the Editor-in-Chief for Norway. Now, Claudio, you've been with the network for 26 years, and you've been working remotely for the most part, helping. I know you've been traveling a lot lately in Latin America. But talk about an encounter you had with Mother Angelica that kind of gave you inspiration for your work.
Yes, Father. Well, hello, Father. Thank you for the invitation to everybody. Yeah, that was like 25 years ago, after a year being working for the network. And I was basically, I worked remotely. So in our visits, sometimes we saw Mother far away, but this time we were in the reception area. And Mother walked by a group of people who were sitting there, basically for marketing. And she said, she asked us, how are you doing? And what are you doing? So we told her that we were here in meetings and all that. And we were from Latin America, from South America. And she said, well, dear, that's one of my favorite places in the world. So that was really, really, really nice of her. And that really inspired us at that moment. Well, that was 25 years ago. That because we know she traveled throughout Latin America. She went to Quito, she went to Santiago, she went to Bogota, and so many beautiful stories. So, and she just wanted to share that with us over there.
Yes, and that was really our first international outreach from the United States to Latin America. And we began the Spanish network. And so you've seen a lot of growth and changes over the years. Maybe talk a bit about that. What was it like 26 years ago when you began? And what's going on today?
Yes, we've had so much growth, Father. I mean, and I will say over the last 25 years, we had, when I began working for the network, like, I don't know, between 600 to 700 cable operators. And now we're in more than 4,000 cable operators. We were in around 2,000 radio stations. We're almost to 130 radio stations and growing. So it's been growing fantastically, rapidly over the last two decades, I will say. When I began, we were reaching 40 million people on television, and now we're reaching 160 million people. So the growth is, it's been exponential, and thanks God. I mean, it's a continent in which it's young in the industry, so cable operators are growing and growing and growing, and we're growing with the industry. That's why we're, the growth is so fantastic.
Now, Andreas, you are there in the heart of the church in Rome, and you've got a large group of people that are working there as well, different languages that I know you speak a number of languages, and you probably, it's probably necessary in your role. But talk about your own role there as the Rome Bureau Chief.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me on, and it's, you know, it's an honor to be on that show, but it's also an honor to work for EWTN. And maybe before I talk a little bit about the Vatican here, just to say, especially in Latin America, I've been working for EWTN now for 3 years. Before that, I worked for a Christian legal organization defending religious freedom, and we had many cases in Latin America also defending the Catholic Church. And EWTN has been such a great partner there just because of the sheer reach of the network, also of the news side of EWTN, that really helped. And I mean, I can testify to that growth there. And this was a big part of the decision also to come on board finally, not just working alongside EWTN, but joining here when I was asked actually first by my predecessor, Alan Holdren, who helped build up this Vatican Bureau here, if I would want to come on board with EWTN. And now I'm here in a new role, and basically, on the one hand, representing also our network towards the Vatican, working together with the Curia, that's the church leadership, and trying to really enable our journalists. We have now more than 30 employees here on the ground, enable them in 13 languages now to report on the church, to report on church documents, to report on Pope Francis.
Yes, and you're right there from down the street from St. Peter's on the Villa Conciliazione. Yeah. And are you there near the roof of the building? Can't you see St. Peter's in the back from actually the top of that building?
Exactly, yes. Exactly. We're here right next to St. Peter's Square. Because we've also grown here, we now have two offices, actually, both on Via della Conciliazione, and which allows us also to bring 24/7, so really around the clock, news about the church and to report on everything that is going on here in the Vatican. But as I said, not just in English, but in many different languages.
Yeah, and just one question about that. How do you manage all of those different languages? Is there a common language that you use? And there's lots of different things going on in different places.
Yeah, we're all learning Latin. No, honestly, it's really English is our common language. Everybody here of our team has to learn also Italian. So we're like 50% of our employees are actually from Italy, and Italian is still a very important language in the church and at the Vatican. So it's important to know that. But at the same time, we're also an international office where many of our affiliates from Europe will come here, see Rome also as their hub and as their office. So it's very important to be able also to talk to them. And usually that's English, the common language there.
Now, Paul, I'm very interested in hearing your story. You talked about the impact of EWTN on your own personal life. Tell us about that.
My first encounter with the Catholic Church was actually EWTN. It was the Mass from Irondale. The 2 o'clock Mass, as we call it in Norway, because it goes at 2 o'clock. I left the Lutheran Church frustrated because it didn't add up to me. And then I did as many before me. I went to YouTube and I Googled the truth in religion, and EWTN came up. So my very first meeting with the Catholic Church was actually the Mass from Irondale, followed by a catechesis of Mother Angelica, where she talked about vocation and the importance of following your vocation, not only as a priest, but also as a layperson. And for me, sitting here with you, talking with you 10 years after, it's a small miracle. So thank you so much for having me on.
And it's a fascinating story. Your family really was the beginning of EWTN in Norway. Talk about that.
Yeah, I met my wife to be at the church coffee in our parish. And the first thing we were talking about was actually doing Catholic radio. Her sister is doing Catholic radio in Romania. And we talked about the calling of doing Catholic radio. Little did I know at that point that we would end up getting married a year and a half after and starting what at that point was called Saint Rita Radio. We have a special devotion to Saint Rita in our family. My wife, because she is the saint for hopeless husbands, so I think she chose it for that, but also because she's the saint for hopeless situation, and doing Catholic media in Norway with the small Catholic population we have, you need Saint Rita on the team to manage that.
Now, Claudio, you were traveling a lot. I know you said, I think the past month you were traveling all over South America, I believe. Maybe talk about that. What were some of the things that you were doing there in South America, Latin America?
Yeah, we were in Brazil for two cable shows. Then I went to Chile, Santiago, and an entire month of August has been busy. Right now we're gonna go to Buenos Aires, and after that to Lima, Peru. It's intensive. We have a lot of work to do in terms of traveling. We're going also to Guatemala and Mexico. And that's the reason for the growth, because we need to be in all these cable shows, trade shows. where all the media gathers and start negotiating between each other. And that's the way we negotiate with cable operators to grow. And that's what we're trying to do, constantly traveling every single month with different people in the region to be able to grow.
Yes, and that's so important, really, right, for people to know, because I still run into people who have never heard of, you know, EWTN. They've never, and they're, you know, they go to parish life, you know, regularly. And yet there's a lot of people that still do not know about it. So your work is so important to help the network to be known. And as I said on the last episode, that the network is there 24 hours a day. So we have a short encounter often with people that we just incidentally meet. But if we can point them toward the network, that's there 24 hours a day, and that's what Paul ran into. Now, Andreas, I know that you have a heart, too, for the needs of the family today. You've got a beautiful family, and you joined the Friars for dinner when you were here recently. We talked about your family and moving from Austria there to Rome. What are you trying to do to help the family life and marriage?
Yeah, so first of all, thank you for that dinner. That was delicious. And I really enjoyed the food, but also the company, of course. We moved 3 years ago from Vienna, Austria, which is kind of in the heart of Europe, towards Rome. And it's only like a 9 or 10 hour drive. So it's not that far, but it's a completely different world. And it's been a big step for us. Also an adventure. And we received our seventh child here in Rome, actually. Yeah. So we have one Roman in the family now. And it's been a big step for us. But also kind of having this adventure with our children together was also forging us together and helped us actually grow as a family. And my wife and I, what we've seen a lot also back in Austria in a circle of friends, also with our Catholic friends, and what we encounter as a family, you know, just working in let's say normal jobs and in our normal work life, it's gotten really hard. And I think it's really important for families to realize also that it's a precious gift that we have received from the Lord to have families, and it's something worth fighting for. And it's not it's something where you have to be really also intentional not to separate. We've just seen it in our circle of friends that it's also a very embattled field. There are many families, unfortunately, in Europe, even amongst well-meaning Catholics, who are separating because the parents are separating after many years of marriage. And so I think it's very, very important to pray for the family, for the families to pray themselves, but also for us as a network to strengthen the families. Yes. Because after all, what we also see, it's good families that also bring forth then vocations and that are a centerpiece also of our church, right, and the life of the church.
Yes, and I know at our family celebration that we had in Toronto, Canada, Monsi was there with Michael Warsaw, and we're talking about, you know, news in general, that the idea is to have a catechetical element in the news as well. Not that you're quoting the catechism, you know, left and right, but you're referencing it and you're giving the news from a Catholic perspective, and this is what the church would hold. So I'm sure that's an element too of the news there in Rome.
Oh, absolutely. And as you know, also Pope Francis, but the church leadership as a whole, the dicasteries here, so the church offices, they're very often speaking about the importance of the family and of parenting, and also this great gift that we have to pass on the faith to the next generation, and with the faith, the hope and the love that the Lord really brings. And I think this is the catechetical part, as you said, of news also, is to report on those things and to let those things known. Also, when we speak of the rights of the family, of human rights, also the right of the parents, it's something that we can't no longer take for granted, not in the United States, not here in Europe, not in other parts of the world. And so also to be advocates for that, for the parents and the right to pass on their faith and their love for the Lord to their children, to oversee their education. I think those are very, very important elements that need to be safeguarded.
Now, Paul, talk about the network there in Norway, And what are you presently doing? What are your hopes for the future for your expansion?
Yeah, so we are now broadcasting a TV stream 24/7 with the help of EWTN in Alabama, which is great for us. We broadcast Mass. We try to focus on catechesis. You know, in Norway, we are the only Catholic media organization. There are no others. So we are the only voice of Catholic news, Catholic catechesis, Catholic evangelization in Norway. And that is our big goal for the future. Is before I was a banker, and we always talked about dreaming big. And I think that is also important when we are doing evangelization as we are doing, to dream big. In 2030, it's 1,000 years since Norway became a Catholic country with St. Olav. Our goal is that in 2030, Norway will once again be a Catholic country, that we will manage to go back to be Catholic. Today, we are only 3% Catholic, so we have 97% left to take care of. But we're aiming for the goal of making Norway Catholic again. And I hope that's our dream for the future.
Well, the truth has a power, and so it is for us just to put it out there, you know, like Mother Angelica would say, once the network was, or the signal was out there, her job was done. Then it was up to the Holy Spirit to be able to touch hearts or bring them to turn to that channel at the right time, as he so often has done through the history of the network, and that the Holy Spirit still is working. You know, the Lord is still working in people's lives. Claudio, maybe you could talk about the impact that this has had on your own faith. So working for the network all of these years, watching it grow and watching it blossom, I'm sure you've seen doors open through the power of prayer. And thanks be to God, you know, we have the sisters praying for the success of the network. That's one of the blessings of working for EWTN. You've got a cloistered community praying for this apostolate. But Claudio, why don't you talk about how it's impacted your own faith?
Father, completely. I mean, it has impacted me so much after working for EWTN. I began reading books for those TV hosts, and I began to admire them. I mean, and start growing so much in devotion and understanding of the faith, learning from all of these talents. And this helped me tremendously at being now a better husband, a better father, a better person as a whole. So it really, really have had such an impact. But most importantly, I've seen so many good examples and testimonies of the impact that EWTN have had on other people. In Latin America, we've been getting a lot of letters from people who've been impacted, conversions. That is really, really inspiring. It's really, really inspiring. Say, Cuba is one example. In Cuba, there is no television in Cuba, but radio reaches, even reaching them through shortwave. And we've got letters from people saying there are no priests. There are like four parishes gathered together around one radio shortwave radio set. Is watching, listening to EWTN.
Wow.
So please do not disappear. Those kind of letters are really, really inspiring for us to continue.
Yes, and that's one of the reasons we keep the shortwave going, actually, that we can reach those people that have no other means of receiving the gospel, like in Cuba. And thanks be to God, it's still having an effect. And so we're going to keep transmitting as long as we can. Andreas, how has this impacted your own family? Your children, are they behind you in this mission, you know, and how has it impacted your own faith? Why did you make the move?
Well, maybe before I answer this, just maybe to speak into this, you know, sending out the signal and then let the Holy Spirit do the rest. I mean, I I really see this also in the digital space, and I'm very excited actually about our digital growth.
Yes.
Only here in the Vatican Bureau, just with the content that we produce in Rome, we see enormous growth amongst the countries that grow the most, where we really reach through YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, the most people, is countries like Pakistan, India, Saudi Arabia, so non-Christian countries at all, where there seems to be huge interest amongst the people there, amongst the population, in what is Pope Francis actually saying? What is this Catholic Church? What should we think about them? And, you know, and we receive also messages there from, I don't know, people in Pakistan just saying, oh, you know, I'm so happy to receive this information, and it's so interesting and everything. So it's really something that goes global and through our many different channels that we have, but also especially through more and more through the digital channel, where we just reach people on their mobile phones wherever they are, and just be able to communicate, really bring the eternal word to the ends of the earth. And my hope is that my children also kind of get a little bit a glimpse of that. I mean, one maybe I can share this. I have a now 16, well, almost 17-year-old son, and he last year we produced a wonderful special, Vaticano special. That's our weekly show that we produce here in Rome, with the North American College, the Pontifical North American College, where U.S. bishops sent some of their seminarians to study here in Rome, and we did four portraits of four very fine young men who engage in the apostolates of this college. And, you know, one who's going to the poor in St. Peter's Square, another one working with university students, one that is visiting the homeless or also going into prisons or working with migrants. And they just gave a testimony on screen, more or less, why they chose to become priests and why they're choosing this path for their lives. And I saw my son, like, really watching this, thinking about it, and really contemplating is, you know, could this maybe be also a path for him? I mean, at least that's what I'm hoping as a parent, and I don't want to stand in the way of the Holy Spirit doing his thing and doing his work, but those are the little things, just bringing also the family alongside. My oldest daughter just started on the side while she's doing school, started to work for our German affiliates to do social media for them, because that's the language that she knows. So it's, you know, it's really, I mean, as Paul said, it's a family apostolate, because all of us, we couldn't be doing this without having our families really having our back also.
That's beautiful. Now, Paul, you know, I like to go to the EWTN app and see what's going on in Europe, what's going on in Africa, what's going on in Norway. So people can go to our app and they can stream what's going on in Norway. Maybe talk about the languages you're using. What is some of the content of your programming?
Yes, we try now to air 4 hours a day in Norwegian, and that is mainly praying. I used to say that the only thing that we are much better to produce than Alabama and the U.S. is praying in Norwegian and catechesis in Norwegian. So that's our main focus. We started, our first program was the morning prayer from the Liturgy of the Hour. And because Norway is a country with great distances, it's really hard for us to go to church. For us, it's an hour to go to our local church. And for many, it's 2-3 hours to get to the church. So our focus is that we can pray together, that we can worship together through the TV, through internet, and that is a way to build a community and bring people together. The rest of our programming is in English on TV, but we also have a web portal that we got a lot of help from Andreas to build and to make, which we are producing articles, devotional articles and news article only in Norwegian. So our goal is to be there for the Norwegian speaking. That is our core audience. And thanks to God, we also reach some Swedish and some Danes as well.
Awesome. So we're coming to the conclusion of our program. Claudio, any closing thoughts you'd like to mention?
Well, actually, thank you for first of all, for the opportunity of the three of us share in different parts of the world. So That's amazing. We need to see about the challenges and the future of EWTN, and we need to pray a lot. Father, you need to pray for us a lot, because we find a lot of challenges in Latin America, and I think in the rest of the world. But we're growing and continue with the mission of Mother Angelica. So, but mainly what has stood us is the prayers behind the network, the prayers from the friars, and the prayers of all every single employee. So I want to close by thanking you, Father, for that, because without those prayers, it wouldn't be impossible to continue, especially for the families and sacrifices.
Great, and I'd ask our audience too, please pray for this apostolate, right? Pray for the work of Claudio and Andreas and Paul, so that we can continue to reach even more souls. Andreas, any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more with the prayer, but maybe also to say this, in news, we're often forced to report also on a lot of negative aspects, even in the church, what's happening here. But having lived here now for 3 years and interacted with the cardinals who are leading this church together with our Holy Father, I would also just like to say there's so much goodness and power and also youth in our church, and I hope that we also manage to show that and to present that to our audiences across the world. It's like the Catholic Church is a treasure trove for our spiritual lives, but then also just the testimonies that you can find here amongst the priests, amongst also the lay people working here at the heart of the church. It's really amazing. And I'm really looking forward to next year when we celebrate the Jubilee. Mm. We expect millions more pilgrims here in Rome, and EWTN will cover that as well. But it will be truly also a holy year, a year of mercy. So I'm looking forward to that, and I hope to welcome a lot of our viewers also here in the Eternal City for that occasion.
So, Paul, briefly, in 30 seconds, any closing thoughts?
I just want to thank the people who have supported the EWTN mission in America, because they are the one who made it possible for me to find the church and also for us to build EWTN Norway. So just a big thank you to everyone who helped support EWTN through the years.
Well, thank you three for your work behind the scenes. And that's one of the hopes that I have for this these programs, is to help people to see there's so many people collaborating with the work that Mother Angelica began, but others the Lord has called too, to help spread the gospel for the good of many more souls. So thank you for joining us. And thank you for joining us today. We'll see you here next week on another episode of The Catholic Sphere with host Debbie Cowden. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. Let His face shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord give you His peace. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.